Welcome to Gene and Mike do the New York Times crossword.
Hi, I'm Gene.
And I'm Mike. And today we are doing the crossword for Friday, June 9th, 2023. So, on this last day of Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, did you do the crossword?
It's also TGIF.
Oh, yes, it is.
And yes, I did.
Good. And were you impressed?
I thought it was an interesting crossword.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Will Shortz has been listening to our podcast.
Gasp.
Knowing how I have struggled through the week. And so he gave me an easy Friday.
Right.
I got it done in 17 minutes and 15 seconds.
Wow.
Which is like really, really fast for me, especially on a Friday.
I think it's really, really fast in general.
Uh-huh.
This was by Robin Weintraub, who does great crosswords,
she
has
does.
Fun clues, but does not tend to be on the killing side of the equation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it had a lot of great clues in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I just thought, oh, maybe this should have been a Wednesday. But when you look at it, you know, it looks like a Friday's. And there were some very long answers that that maybe would be kind of hard to figure out on first glance.
Right.
But I just didn't really have a lot of trouble with it.
I had trouble in the bottom right corner.
Mm.
I sort of got most of it filled in, but then I sort of started to run into opposition there.
Oh.
I was able to sort of work it out. Part of my problem was 39 down, brightest point in Canis Major, familiarly, and I wanted it to be Sirius, because that's the name of the star. But
yes.
But it was the familiar part.
Yes.
It was actually Dog Star.
The Dog Star, yes.
So that sort of slowed me down there.
Uh-huh.
And let's see, Who's Who filler in formerly 46 across was Bios.
Right.
I should have been able to get that more easily, but I don't know. For some reason, I was momentarily flummoxed as I was working on it.
And the next one, 47 across, Bluefin Alternative. Ahi.
Yes.
Ahi is just becoming more and more popular in crosswords.
Yes.
So
they tend to use that a lot.
They do.
I liked how the crossword started off. I thought it started off boldly with one across. A train might get pulled along it. It was five letters. Of course, I thought it has to be track.
Of course.
But it wasn't. It was aisle.
Right. Yes, that was very funny.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. 10 across. We just had plasma TV, and today we had 10 across. Home theater purchase was 8D TV.
Right.
So we seem to be in sort of a TV mood.
That's true. I liked 25 across. That was another funny clue. Game you can't stand to win, and that was musical chairs.
Yes,
that was funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One down was interesting. District of India that's home to three UNESCO World Heritage Sites, and that was Agra.
That's right.
I know that is the home to Taj Mahal.
I did know that, yes, but I don't know what else.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to research that.
Yes.
That could be a fun fact Friday for next Friday.
Well, it could.
If we remember that. Three mm-hmm. down, result of a split decision, was a sect.
Yes.
and right next to that, four down, common middle name Lee. Is that in reference to Korea? Or
no.
Really? It's a common sort of North American mm-hmm. English middle name?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Huh. Is your middle name Lee?
No.
Neither is mine. 100% of us are not do not have a middle name of Lee.
But I have a very common middle name for women.
Right.
From my generation, Anne.
But it's not Lee.
Jean Anne.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, I guess it's, I'm sure it's true if it's in the New York Times crossword. let's see. Although they did have 33 down, 65%, e.g., was most.
Yes.
I.
It's like, what's that? What are we talking about?
I guess that's true.
Yes, most.
It's most. Barely most.
I've never heard of most being defined as 65 or more percent, but.
Well, they didn't say
it
or
is
more.
Most.
They just said 65%. There was no more there. So.
Oh, uh huh.
Six Down was quite interesting. The much debated grammar topic, serial comma.
Yes.
And I think we'll defer discussion of that till later on in the podcast.
Okay.
So there was a bit of a spoiler.
Right. 27 Down. It's all inclusive. Soup to nuts.
Yes.
Boy, I haven't heard that phrase in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Soup to nuts.
Soup to nuts. Let's see. 10 Down. I secretly feel. I had it ending in O-R. It's six letters. And so I thought it was going to be something like yen for. And so I had yen for a long time.
Yen for?
You yen for something?
Okay.
I think it works. But the
This is just secretly feel doesn't necessarily mean secretly want yen for.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I'm not sure if I've ever heard anyone else say or write the phrase yen for.
No.
It does sound a bit novel, but...
But you might harbor feelings.
You might harbor feelings, which was the correct answer.
Which would be secretly feel.
Yes. Well, my problem was 21 Across. That B of harbor came out of an intersection with 21 Across, tarot, and jicama. And that was tubers.
That's correct.
And I had no idea what that was about. And so, as far as I was concerned, twofers, you get like, you buy tarot and the jicama comes with it. So it's a twofer.
I suppose that works.
So I had, that's why I had it ending in the word for, and then I thought it's got to be yen for.
What did you think 22 down was? Kelvin or Newton? And on it?
No, because twofer is spelled T-U-F-E-R.
Oh, I see.
A twofer.
Okay.
Actually, 22 down is interesting in the sense that it's Kelvin or Newton, but the Kelvin is capitalized because it's the first word in the clue. Newton is not capitalized.
Right.
So I guess units are not capitalized.
No.
Yeah, that is true. So
inches, even feet, even ounces, pounds.
But those aren't names. I mean, you've never met like George Feet.
No, that's true. I never have.
So,
but there might have been somebody like that a long time ago when
right.
they were naming feet.
But then, but I mean, because Newton, of course, is named after Isaac Newton,
that's
you would have
right.
thought they might have kept the capital. And it, when they write the thing out mathematically or in physics, they keep the capital. You'd write like for instance, Fahrenheit or Celsius, you would write... capital F or capital C.
That's true.
So, I don't know. Small mystery there.
Yeah.
I actually ended up in the top right corner because 11 down, laundry room detritus was dryer sheet.
Yes.
And I had spelled dryer D-R-I-E-R.
Oh.
And 18 across, the title paratrooper in a 1998 war film was Ryan, spelled R-I-A-N.
Sound not quite.
I mean, it was a title, so it's like sounded good to me.
Saving Private Ryan. That's the movie.
Oh, right. Okay. And, of course, there was the sequel, Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
Don't know if you're familiar with that.
No. I can't say that I am.
It's right up there with yen for.
I had trouble with 38 across, low-cut, laceless shoes, pumps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would consider them low-cut, but, I mean, pumps are just shoes that, you know, women's shoes that you don't tie up.
Right.
You slip them on.
I will defer to you in the shoe
usually
department.
Usually has a... you know, a bit of a heel.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never heard them called low cut. I don't even know what a low cut shoe is. So
that's a question for either Robin Weintraub or Will Shorts.
Uh-huh.
Or our listeners.
Uh-huh.
Listeners,
but
help us out.
I did get it, but
okay.
I mean, they are laceless shoes. They don't have laces. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Low cut sort of threw me off there.
We had another shoe in the grid, 13 down, shoe brand with an iconic checkerboard design,
right.
Vans.
Vans.
I just have no idea what a Vans looks like. Well, apparently it's got a checkerboard on it.
It does. It
does. Do they have like checkers as well?
It's like a canvas shoe.
Can you play checkers on a Vans?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe you need more of them? Get like 8 Vans and you've got enough for a board? The one right next to that also was amusing. 12 down, Glum Drops. And that was tears.
Yes.
That was subtle.
I've never heard them called Glum Drops, but that is pretty cute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Many a Porsche 911 was a coupe. That took me a bit.
Oh, yes.
And also in that U of coupe cut 35 across, like a sore loser, perhaps. I had it ending in Y, so I thought angry.
Oh.
But, I mean, if you lose, you might be angry if you're a sore loser, but it was pouty.
Pouty, yes. Which is not a word I think I've ever used.
Quit being so pouty. It works well, I think, in at least in some conversations.
I suppose.
They had 19 across and 23 down were both clued the same, hill worker. And the first was ant.
Yes.
And the second was aid, as in worker on the hill.
Right, Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else was 41 down? Was curious. A certain loophole was an islet.
Right.
That took a bit. Yesterday we had inlet, so we've gone from inlet to islet.
That's true.
I'm assuming that tomorrow we're going to have a clue that involves omelet.
Maybe, or egglet.
Or egglet.
Yes.
We'll have to see if that comes true.
Right.
46 down, some queens but not kings, or bees.
Yes.
And let's see, 54 across, upfront payment before a deal is made, ante.
I know, that took me a while.
Mm-hmm. Not a very long while.
No, nothing came to mind, like down payment. I just couldn't think of anything.
I saw, somehow I focused on the word deal and thought I saw a bit of a word trap.
Yeah, I should have.
So, all right. Well, I think that's it for the crossword then. Well done, Robin.
Yes.
I think this deserves A5 squares on the JAM CR scale.
That sounds good to me.
You okay? All right. It's unanimous. Now, we did mention 6 down, much debated grammar topic, serial comma. And we love grammar, and we love talking about it. So, here are a few words, this is for Fun Fact Friday, about the serial comma. And this is from Wikipedia.
Right.
In English language punctuation, a serial comma, also called a series comma, Oxford comma, or Harvard comma, is a comma placed immediately after the penultimate term, i.e. before the coordinating conjunction such as and or, in a series of 3 or more terms. For example, a list of 3 countries might be punctuated either as France, comma, Italy, and Spain, without the serial comma, or France, comma, Italy, comma, and Spain, with the serial comma. Opinions among writers and editors differ on whether to use the serial comma, and usage also differs somewhat between regional varieties of English. British English allows constructions with or without this comma, whereas in American English it is common and sometimes even considered mandatory by some style guides.
That's right.
The APA style, the Chicago Manual of Style, garners modern American usage, the MLA style manual Strunk and White's The Elements of Style, and the U.S. Government Printing Office Style Manual recommend or mandate it. By contrast, the Associated Press Style Book and the New York Times Style Book advise against it.
Whoa.
In Canada, the Style Book published by the Canadian Press advises against it, except on Tuesdays. No, I invented that part. most British style guides do not mandate its use.
Really?
The Economist Style Guide notes that most British writers use it only where necessary to avoid ambiguity. A few British style guides mandate it, most notably the Oxford Style Manual, hence the name Oxford comma.
Oh.
However, the University of Oxford Style Guide, not to be confused with the Oxford Style Guide, advises against its use. Oh. Wow. But they have like big fights in the middle of town square where people hit each other with commas. The Oxford Companion to the English Language notes, usage varies as to the inclusion of a comma before and in the last item. This practice is controversial and is known as the serial comma or Oxford comma because it is part of the house style of Oxford University.
Wow.
Okay.
But they advise against it now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. Here's the arguments for and against. The common arguments for the consistent use of the serial comma. Use of the comma is consistent with the conventional practice of the region. It can resolve ambiguity, and its use is consistent with other means of separating items in a list. For example, when semicolons are used to separate items, one is always included before the last item.
That's true.
The common arguments against. Use of the comma is inconsistent with the conventional practice of the region. Of course, it depends on the region. It can introduce ambiguity. Where space is at a premium, the comma adds unnecessary bulk to the text.
Ooh.
Boy, you really need to be desperate if a couple of commas are going to push you over the edge.
Right.
So here's just, we'll wrap it up with one example of ambiguity. Omitting the serial comma may create ambiguity. Writers who normally avoid the serial comma often use one when it avoids ambiguity. Consider this apocryphal book dedication. To my parents, comma, Ayn Rand and God. There is ambiguity about the writer's parentage because Ayn Rand and God can be read in apposition to my parents, leading the reader to believe that the writer claims Ayn Rand and God are the parents. To my parents, Ayn Rand and God. A comma before and removes the ambiguity. To my parents, Ayn Rand and God. So there's an example of ambiguity. And that is probably more than you needed to know, but not as much as you should know about the serial comma.
Well, thank you very much.
You are welcome.
Mr. Grammar here.
Yes, yes, indeed. I will defend the Oxford comma to the death. Well, not really. All right. Well, that is it for today. Reminder that we are going to put up another one of our surveys to see what you think was the best crossword of the week. We'll be picking our Jamkatwa tomorrow,
okay.
And we always can use guidance. So expect that survey to be up. It's actually up now. We'll put, but you won't be able to get to it until we put a link to it, so we will do that in the show notes.
Right.
Remember, you can always get a hold of us, crosswordpodcast@icloud.com, and we will see all of you again tomorrow.
Bye-bye.